I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Political analyst Steve Roberts is joining us on the Trocare College Live Line right now. You know, Steve, a lot of people are wondering exactly when we'll know the outcome to the election. I still find it hard to believe. Like, why is it taking so long to get these results in so many places across the country? You know, you take a place like Pennsylvania, where they didn't do anything to, you know, ensure that ballot counts would be expedited, that we could learn the results a little more quickly. Is that troubling at all to you?
The real problem is when it's so close. Look, when the elections are within this wide margin, no one talks about ballot security. No one talks about late counting, right? It's all because of our elections over the last 10 years or so have been so close. Let me give you an astounding statistic. In 2020, Donald Trump got 46.9% of the electorate. I looked this morning at the website 538, which is a very good independent website that averages all the national polls. Donald Trump was at 46.9%, down to the decimal point, the exact same percentage of the vote that he got 4 years ago. And we've now had two elections in a row that have been very, very closely divided. So that's the reason why there's so much focus on late returns and ballot counting. If these elections were not so close, we wouldn't have any of this kind of conversation. But it's important to remember that a lot of folks, including me, are looking at the analogy of Florida 2000, where one state was winner-take-all. Whoever won that state was going to be president. And that vote was only 537 votes between Gore and Bush out of almost 6 million cast. And it's entirely possible you'll have a replay of that. And if that happens, it's almost certainly going to be in Pennsylvania. But there's been an enormous change in 24 years. You have the internet. You have conspiracy theories and misinformation rocketing through cyberspace at a moment's notice. And you have both sides depicting the other as demonizing the other. Both sides have decided this election is the apocalypse. Both sides have said it's going to be a disaster for the country if the other side wins. So we could be in, not just for late counting, but late counting that is accompanied by an enormous upsurge of anger and frustration and misinformation on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, but the longer it takes for a decision, doesn't it point to a poor election process because it raises doubts?
Well, I don't think it's the poor election process. As I say, Susan, you got to remember there are always going to be cases of ballots being lost. We don't pay any attention to that except when the elections are very, very close. But the new factor here, and this is not a partisan point, I'm saying this as an analyst, the new factor is that Donald Trump repeatedly, and by the way, this year is not the first time. He did it back in 2016. He did it in 2020. He has said to his supporters, the only way we can lose is if the other side cheats. And he has been on a campaign for years now to undermine public confidence in the electoral system. And that's a new factor. So there have always been glitches. There have always been ballots mislaid. There have always been malfunctions of machines. It's a human process, and therefore there are going to be mistakes. But what has happened is that Trump has so exacerbated the problems, and of course that culminated in the armed insurrection of January 6th in 2021. So in all fairness, I think it's a situation that's always been there, and the potential for difficulties is always there, enormously amplified and aggravated by Trump's incessant attacks on the integrity of the system.
We're just hours away right now from the polls being open on Election Day. I'm wondering what you've made of specifically Harris's campaign since she became the candidate and how she's defined herself. You know, I was reading a New York Times over the weekend, said she's ran a reserved campaign. Axios calling her the no comment candidate because of, well, how she's really not defined a lot of her policy positions when asked. Do you think that pays off tomorrow or bites her?
I think a little bit of both. Look, I agree in large part with those descriptions because, let's be honest, the single most important dimension, the single most important element of Kamala Harris's campaign is negative. I'm not Donald Trump and I'm not Joe Biden. Relatively few people are voting for Harris because of they think she's going to be a wonderful president. By far, and this has been true the entire campaign, by far the most powerful source of energy and motivation on the Democratic side has been fear. And it's been negative, and it's been loathing of Donald Trump. Fear of a Trump presidency is a far more powerful motivation for Democratic voters than any enthusiasm about the Harris ticket. But the other factor is that, you know, while it's very, very difficult for her to run as a candidate of change because she's part of the Biden administration, that's one of the reasons why she's downplayed talk about a lot of issues, because it's very difficult to run as a candidate of change when you're also part of an incumbent administration. And the single most important number is 74. That's percentage of the people in our ABC poll this morning who said the country's headed in the wrong direction. She has had to fight, and if she loses, that's still the most important factor in this election. That the hangover from COVID, the widespread dissatisfaction with gas and grocery prices, a national malaise and hangover that has lingered since COVID. When 74% of the people say the country's heading in the wrong direction, which is what our ABC poll said this morning, it's really difficult to run as an incumbent and defend an administration. That's why she doesn't talk about issues, because if she talks about issues, it's probably going to be a negative.
Still, Steve, we'll be listening tomorrow night. I know you're part of the coverage that we'll be having here on WBEN.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.